You're listening to the Full and Thriving Podcast, a place where courageous women come to break free from food obsession, heal their relationship with their body, and strive to live a life that's present, lighthearted, and meaningful. If you're listening, my wish is that this podcast serves as a catalyst that inspires you to nourish your body, nurture your mind, and energize your spirit. I'm your host, Meg McCabe, a certified life coach and eating disorder recovery coach with a PhD in having a good time. Just kidding about that last part. Anyway, thank you so much for listening and enjoy the show. Hello, everyone. I hope you're having a lovely week. Today is a solo show coming at you, and it's going to be a really good one. And as you know, I love to start my solo shows with a little bit of a life update for all of you to hear. I am getting more and more busy by the day with the Recovery Collective retreat coming up in less than a month. I honestly can't believe I will be back in Portugal with some amazing recovery warriors and Anne Claire in just a few weeks. Portugal is just gorgeous in the summer. And it was truly a highlight for me last year, so I cannot wait to be back. I personally love that I have integrated retreats into my career. It gives me the perfect excuse to explore Europe for a few weeks after the fact. And this year, Dan is coming along, and we are planning to take a few days off to go to Santorini, Greece. So we're having a little vacation after the retreat. And as a little self-employed boss lady, I rarely take extended vacations. So this is going to be so nice. We have the most stunning Airbnb with a beautiful view. I don't know if you have seen photos of Greece, but they're all these whitewashed buildings against like cliffside facing a beautiful ocean. And we have that exact view from our Airbnb. And thankfully, we are both working remotely. So we will be extending beyond Greece to do some remote work in Paris and Dublin. So don't worry, friends. I'm going to keep you updated on that trip. And I will be posting all of the travel pictures and the retreat pictures on my Instagram, which, by the way, is at Meg_McCabe. And if you have travel plans this summer, I highly recommend you listen to the recent episode, which is episode 109 with Anne Claire, called Travel, Culture, and Recovery. And that will get you all ready to go managing eating disorder recovery and travel at the same time. And we also have a few spaces left on our retreat. So if you want to learn more about that, definitely listen to episode 109. Anyway, so much is going on here, but today I want to talk about how eating disorders are similar to abusive relationships. So before I move on, I want to put a little trigger warning here. Today I will be talking about things like emotional abuse, gaslighting, and related topics. So if this is a difficult subject area for you, I just advise that you either skip this episode or proceed with caution and perhaps plan to be gentle with yourself and take care of yourself after listening to this episode. It is a pretty heavy topic, and I always want to make sure everyone has a heads up before I bring up something that you might have some trauma around. So anyway, let's move forward with that. All of you guys know I am a relationship girly. I have always loved hearing the latest updates on my friends' relationships, their dating life. I love watching all of the dating shows. Like, I love relationships. It's always been such a fun area of life. But I have had my fair share of unhealthy relationships, and I've also had an eating disorder, and I can tell how both of them are very similar. And when I was getting trained to become an eating disorder recovery coach, Carolyn Costin taught us to pose the question, how is living with your eating disorder like being in an abusive relationship? And I really want this to be clear, especially since I've had my fair share of toxic and I would lean into abusive relationships in some cases and an eating disorder. I am going to say that your eating disorder is abusing you mentally, physically, and emotionally. And it is a relationship that exists inside of you between your authentic self and your eating disorder self. Those two parts are constantly in battle. And I will say the suffering that exists between those two are so similar. It's just that with an eating disorder, the eating disorder is inside of you. It is not a person external from you. And in the end, healing comes when you can heal your relationship with yourself. So relationships, I truly believe that whether that's within yourself or relationships with other, they do bring the highest level of healing, wisdom, learning, and insight into our lives and who we really are and who we need to be. Relationships do an amazing job at holding up a mirror to you and saying, this is where you can heal. So, like I said, throughout my lifetime, I've seen similarities between the time I had an eating disorder and the times I have been in an unhealthy dating relationship. Actually, this show comes out 1 year after I moved out of a multiple-year domestic partnership that for me reminded me so much of being in an eating disorder you would not believe. And I would say, just like my eating disorder, the pain that that relationship gave me and all of the lessons I was forced to learn the hard way because of it set me up to see life so much more clearly and with a deeper knowing of who I am and what is actually important in life. So if you are struggling with an eating disorder or maybe you're in a really toxic or unhealthy relationship, I just want to say that this is your opportunity to heal and grow. You do not have to settle for being in either form of those relationships. Life is better when you let those go and you can vote for yourself and believe in your self-worth and trust your future, even though it's uncertain, to move forward without the thing, aka the eating disorder or the relationship that you are so clinging on to with all of your might. At the end of the day, you deserve to be treated with so much love, dignity, respect, and care that I hope that you can let go of the relationships that aren't serving you, whether that's one with a partner or a toxic parent or eating disorder. And just break free from that and have the strength to discover who you can be when you set a boundary and no longer let yourself be treated in that way or treat yourself in that way. So without further ado, let's just get into it. I have 7 similarities to share with you today. These are the 7 ways an eating disorder is like an abusive relationship. So number one, I'm going to cover really quickly. And number one is, first of all, my immediate thought when drawing up the similarities between eating disorders and unhealthy relationships is that they immediately take the parts of you out of alignment and you feel extremely divided at 2 times. And so on one side, you want to stay in the relationship or stay in the eating disorder. And on the other side, there's a part of you, an authentic self, that knows that this is not a good choice for your life. And they're constantly at odds and you feel like you can't align them. And that wraps into my point number 2, which is in eating disorders and in abusive relationships, there are cycles of rupture and repair. And this is because in both relationships, you're caught in a cycle where maybe, for instance, you have periods of peace and healing and things seem to be going smoothly. And then suddenly, out of the blue, maybe there's arguments, or the eating disorder gets really loud, or you have a relapse and it's chaotic and you fall back into a period of distress and emotional despair. And then slowly you work to repair that and restore peace. And in your eating disorders, you have moments where you're doing well in recovery and think everything has gotten better and everything has changed. And then you're slammed with setbacks that feel scary, confusing, and upsetting. And in an abusive relationship, you might find periods of peace and joy between the two of you. But then those moments are fleeting and fragile because there's always another explosive fight around the corner. It's as if you can't get up on your own two feet. And in both scenarios, peace is temporary and it's followed by a period of emotional pain and chaos. I find my eating disorder recovery clients going through periods of this cycle all the time of rupture and repair. So maybe they get some strength, they're standing on their own two feet, doing their meal plan, reaching out for help, using their coping skills for a few weeks, and then something difficult happens. For instance, maybe a family member gets sick and that triggers them and they lose sight of all the work they've done and the eating disorder comes right back in and they start coping with their eating disorder. They're not expressing their emotions. They're turning towards behaviors. They're restricting again, whatever it might be. And it feels chaotic and stressful. And then finally they get a grip on what's going on. And it takes a few weeks to build them, like take them out of the hole that they fell back into. And they're back into a period of peace and hope again. So as you can see, that's the same thing that happens when you're in a relationship where you're always fighting and then seeking peace and seeking solution. And then another fight comes up. And sometimes the same fight happens over and over again, just like how in an eating disorder, the same triggers can happen over and over again. So this brings me to my next point, which is in both cases, eating disorders and abusive relationships are really hard to leave. And I can boil this down to mostly one major factor, and that is in both cases, the person stuck in the relationship is clinging on to false hope. And in both scenarios, you are attached to an idea of what that relationship could be and what it could give you and its potential, since you've seen promising glimmers of an ideal that you've always hoped for. So in an abusive relationship, you might continuously latch on to the hope that now things are going to get better, now things have changed, maybe you're going from one solution to the next, hoping that the next thing you two do will finally bring lasting peace, or that person will finally treat you the way you've been hoping they would. And maybe, just maybe, the two of you have finally fixed your problems this time and you can ride off into the sunset together. And unfortunately, this is the false hope that keeps you stuck in that relationship way longer than you deserve. And honestly, it's the same thing with eating disorders. With an eating disorder, you are attached to an idea of what the eating disorder will bring into your life. For instance, perhaps the eating disorder gives you hope that one day, if you restrict enough, you will obtain that thin ideal that you're striving for, along with the happiness and the dream life and the joy and the attention and the love you've always needed. And in reality, we know that when people actually obtain that thin ideal, which isn't often, it doesn't come with that joy that they've hoped for. In fact, the eating disorder gives you false hope that you'll be happier, healthier, and more loved if you keep it around. And somehow, even when it's clear that you're miserable living with it, you keep choosing to go back to it over and over again because the false hope it promises for your life. And in both scenarios, the eating disorder and the abuser waste your time getting you to keep coming back, despite your intuition screaming at you that there is nothing that has gotten better here and nothing has authentically changed for the better. So yes, I think what keeps people stuck in both scenarios is that false sense of hope that things are just going to get better, when in reality, the relationship or the eating disorder is causing harm and pain and emotional distress in your life. Hello, listeners. It is that time of year again. That's right, we're opening the doors to my global eating disorder recovery community, the Recovery Collective, on May 18th, and we would love to have you join us. Curious to know what it's like inside? Here's what some of our current members are saying.
My favorite part about the Recovery Collective is that, as of joining about a year ago, I finally realized how important it is to have a community in recovery.
It was definitely a turning point for me to finally talk to someone who's understanding.
The people in the Recovery Collective are some of the most lovely, supportive people I've ever met.
If you're thinking about joining the Recovery Collective, I have two words to say to you. Do it. Literally just give it a chance. I think you will be surprised in the most wonderful way.
Make the jump and join. It's honestly one of the best things I ever did, and I've made some of my best friends from around the world.
It's a safe place for me. I know I can say anything and never get judged for it, and I feel that we all truly care about each other.
Well, there you have it. Our members have spoken. And I might be a little biased, but I think our community is pretty great too. For more information, check out the link in the show notes and make sure you sign up for the waiting list so you can be the first to join our community on May 18th. All right, the fourth way that eating disorders are like abusive relationships is that they both involve criticism and insulting language. Now, I am sure that all of the listeners of this podcast, or at least the listeners who have eating disorders, have a pretty unkind inner voice, and that inner voice can often sound like an emotional abuser. The eating disorder loves to criticize your every move. It criticizes the size and shape of your body and even your character. It shames you. And like an abuser, the inner voice can be degrading, disrespectful, cruel, and minimizing. And abusers use similar, if not the same, sort of language in unhealthy relationships. So there's actually a newsflash here, which is, there are people in the world who can express their frustration or anger without criticizing or insulting you. Just as you can learn to express your uncomfortable emotions without criticizing or insulting yourself and beating yourself up with negative or degrading self-talk. In fact, you can heal your inner voice by learning more about self-compassion and working to practice it day to day. And I want to say, if someone is criticizing you or insulting you, that is not the way you deserve to be loved. I want you to set boundaries around that and not allow that into your life. Of course, there is healthy constructive criticism with maybe your career choices or life path. I'm talking about criticism of your character and who you are as a person. If you're in a relationship where someone's doing that to you, that is not actually a loving thing to do, and you do not need that in your life, and it is not going to make you a better person overall, even if they tell you they're trying to help. So anyway, the very clear sign that your eating disorder is like an emotionally abusive relationship is the way your self-talk makes you feel. Okay, number five, this is a big one. Your eating disorder is like an emotionally abusive relationship because at first you ignore the red flags. And within a few weeks, I'm actually going to have Mia Finley come on and share more about the topic of the red flags that you ignore with your eating disorder. But I wanted to share some of the red flags I ignored with my eating disorder and how this reminds me of a toxic or unhealthy relationship. So when I was in high school and I was falling deeper and deeper into my eating disorder, I vividly remember the first time I purged my food. And I also vividly remember how I excused it and swept it under the rug and made excuses for it. And I knew that purging was not good for me. I had taken health class where they explained that that was a sign of bulimia. But I honestly, at that point, didn't care because I was chasing the thin ideal and all of the attention and feelings of being special that it could give me. So because of this, I ignored the most glaringly obvious eating disorder red flag, which was purging to me. If I was in a healthier headspace, a healthy person would have identified that purging and immediately went and told someone or reached out for help, and they would have seen it as problematic. That was not my case. For me, I knew it was not okay, and I kept it a secret because I needed my eating disorder to achieve my dreams. And I can think back to a previously unhealthy relationship that I was in where red flags were everywhere. And I'm talking gaslighting, wishy-washy communication, all the things. And I overlooked those red flags for the sake of looking cool or being the chill girl or even just trying to achieve a certain level of a relationship status with that person. I didn't act on any of the red flags I saw until it was way too late and I was in way too deep. And once you ignore one red flag, it's like a boundary has been crossed. And in an abusive relationship or in an eating disorder, because you keep ignoring the red flags or excusing the mistreatment, you suddenly end up way too deep in a relationship or an eating disorder that is not good, right? Or maybe you find yourself living with someone who just constantly mistreats you, and it's because you let it slide and you excused things, and suddenly years go by and you're putting up with something that is extremely painful. And it's just like how chronic dieting can start in a seemingly innocent way, and it can suddenly snowball into a really dangerous and horrible eating disorder. So if you want more information on ignoring red flags, definitely subscribe to this podcast because I will be diving deep into that with Mia Finlay, who is a content creator and recovery coach, in a few weeks from now. All right, the next piece, which is number 6, is that in both eating disorders and toxic abusive relationships, gaslighting is present. And gaslighting is a psychology term that has become super popular over the past few years, and it is defined as a form of psychological manipulation in which the abuser attempts to sow self-doubt and confusion in the victim's mind. Typically, gaslighters are seeking to gain power and control over the other person by distorting reality and forcing them to question their own judgment and intuition. In a relationship, this can look like someone putting you down or insulting you. And when you get offended by it, they say something like, "Oh, that was a joke. Can't you take a joke?" And when it was just not funny at all to you, or if you react in a hurt way, they might say, "Oh, you're just so sensitive." Another example of gaslighting could be when they tell you one thing at one moment, and then down the road, they tell you something completely different to get what they need accomplished. And so you're left questioning what you experienced in the past, and you don't know which scenario is true anymore. With an eating disorder, gaslighting is most likely present when your eating disorder makes you confused, right? So if you have confusion about a decision you're making in recovery, chances are you're blurring your inner truth, right? Your eating disorder is making it foggy and hard to make recovery choices because it doesn't want you to. So for instance, when you are hungry and you feel the symptoms of hunger, but your eating disorder tells you, no, you're not that hungry right now. Maybe you should just get a glass of water. Or are you sure you're really hungry? You just ate a few hours ago. That is the eating disorder blurring your sense of truth, which is you're ignoring the signs that you are actually hungry. Another example of gaslighting in an eating disorder is when you look in the mirror and the eating disorder distorts reality of what you see. So when you're navigating in a state of confusion, you're just disconnected from your inner truth. So maybe on an intellectual level, you know you're seeing something in the mirror, but your eating disorder will distort that and fog it up so that you doubt what you're seeing is real. So it is a really difficult situation. And unfortunately, that confusion is occurring because your eating disorder loves to make you overthink things and doubt yourself so that it can get its way. And that is the same exact thing that an abuser will do so that that person can get their way. Okay, the final piece of why eating disorders are like an abusive relationship is because eating disorders and abusive relationships are straight up isolating. When I was in an unhealthy relationship, I even isolated myself. And I am Miss Extrovert. I love socializing. But I had so much shame that it prevented me from reaching out and calling my closest loved ones. So I had moved away to a state that was completely far from all of my friends and family. And I did not want to call any of them because I was in such a terrible relationship that if I were to call someone, I'd feel like I had to lie or avoid the truth or avoid the subject so that I don't have to unlock an uncomfortable conversation or hear things that I didn't want to hear. So I didn't reach out because I was trying to avoid ingenuine conversations altogether, and I didn't want to face reality, honestly. With an eating disorder, you might be in a similar situation. Maybe you don't want to reach out for help because of the shame you feel. Maybe you don't want to talk to people anymore because the eating disorder is such a big part of your life. You don't want to show it to anyone, and you don't want to feel judged by not being able to recover. Also see instances where eating disorders force people to avoid social events because the inner voice is so critical and so mean that you don't want to go in public and be seen. And so you must break past the shame you find in both scenarios and continue to reach out and move forward and connect with others. And when you find you're hiding something from anyone, and it prevents you from being able to have authentic conversations, this in itself is not okay, and it should be taken as a red flag or an indicator deep down in your heart that something isn't right. So yes, eating disorders cause so much isolation, as so many of you probably know and have experienced, and so do abusive relationships. And so I encourage you to keep reaching out for help. Of course, if you have an eating disorder and want to break that isolation, I highly encourage you to look into working with a recovery coach such as myself, or even joining the Recovery Collective, where you can have a community of peers who understand, who you can talk to about being in this eating disorder and what it's like, and encourage each other to move forward. Connection is probably one of the most powerful forms of healing, and it can help you break super negative mental states instantly. Have any of you ever been ruminating about something in your head and maybe have a day where you have intense anxiety? Maybe you're not even sure why, but you go for a walk and your neighbor just waves to you and says, good morning, right? Suddenly you feel better, right? Just that smile, that contact with a person can break a negative state almost immediately, which is why we are always encouraging people to reach out for help. And even add structure where socializing is part of your life. I think with COVID, it was so easy to avoid socializing and just hide behind technology and inside in the safety of your home. But I really do believe that this can bring immediate mental transformation when connection is made. So anyway, that's the final similarity. And folks, when I was writing this episode, I could think of hundreds of similarities. Like, the list does not stop. It goes on and on. And at the end of the day, I really want you to break free from the relationships that are no longer serving you. Take it from me. I had to break free from a really unhealthy relationship over a year ago now. And I am just feeling so much more aligned with myself. And it's so nice not to have that constant anxiety of being completely conflicted every single day. You deserve to be treated with love, respect, care, kindness, compassion, consideration. Whether that's from other people or from within yourself, do not latch onto the bullshit idea that you need to be hard on yourself to thrive in this life. That is totally false. And that is a thought that can keep you stuck for a dangerous amount of time. I want you to focus on feeling good and finding ways to be kind to yourself, gentle with yourself. Give yourself benefit of the doubt, right? If you make a mistake, don't beat yourself up. No need to criticize yourself. Be kind and say, you know what? I'll do better next time. Or it's okay. I'm learning in this moment. Oh, man. It's a tough one, everybody, but I know that this subject is really important. And I just wanted to say I'm sending all of you guys so much love and support. And if you do feel like you are in an abusive relationship, please call your local domestic violence center or intimate partner violence center just to get your questions answered. I'm sure there are millions of hotlines I could put on here, but that is important. And of course, there are always nonprofits like Project Heal or BEAT in the UK or the Butterfly Foundation in Australia where you can call them up and get your questions answered about your eating disorder and how to seek help for that. So anyway, thank you guys so much for listening. Please keep in mind that the doors to the Recovery Collective are opening in a week. So if you want to hear more wisdom from me and work with me on healing in a group setting, this is perfect for you. And it comes down to approximately $55 a month, which is about half the cost of one therapy session. But you get hours of content and live support with me and other eating disorder recovery professionals. So please head on over to recoverycollective.mykajabi.com to sign up for that, or go take the What Is Your Eating Disorder Recovery Community Personality Quiz for free and see how you can better fit into our community, because you do not need to isolate anymore. All right. Thank you guys for listening, and I hope you have a beautiful rest of your day.